All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. And today, I'm going to take you down memory lane here in regards to the deployment of Company F-425 Lurs Airborne Infantry in Iraq in 2004.
Our current stunning and brave, duly elected, most popular president ever might have delivered the coup de grace to the Republic, but the first shots were fired by useful idiot vaginuts in sheep's clothing peddling lies and propaganda before our former Kenyan-in-chief made it legal. Take a stand against the tyranny and get yourself a copy of Surviving Fourth Wave Fleminism today. A link is in the description.
All right, this is the roof. Again, this is the area on the outside of the prison that we can see from the top. And on one occasion, we had several of soldiers engaging in basically two-way rifle range shagnanigans with individuals out here shooting at the prison, which was absolutely pointless, and I stopped that shit immediately because it was totally unneeded. It was stupid. Again, all right, this is a couple days before the April 10th shootout. Now, what you're seeing here is the convoy where I believe Craig Maupin went MIA. And this is all of the smoke left behind from that entire convoy being set on fire. Okay. And it was hit with IEDs. There was hundreds of people out there attacking these people. And my company, which was based, my company got the mission to go out there on April 10th and get one of our Humvees and log pack that was jumped and attacked that morning and bring them back and roughly around between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. And we had 13 to 15 vehicles. I don't remember how many. It's somewhere in that range. Roughly a platoon and a half of guys, like 42 to 46 guys. And along that MSR, we got jumped on the way back, and it was estimated between 300 and 500 people, enemy combatants participated. Of that many people, it's estimated between 80 and 105 KIAs, plus or minus, 10. And three times that amount wounded were basically, we basically zeroed out the Mahdi army in roughly a 17-minute afternoon drive back to Abu. Our vehicles that had the Red Wings logo on them, we painted them on all the vehicles we took over there. After this happened, in and around within 2 to 8 miles away from the prison, our vehicles were never touched again. All right, we saw this probably 5 to 6 times a day overhead at Abu Ghraib, and this is a medevac. We did have a cache on the post, which is a combat, hospital. And, if we had individuals that were hurt really bad and they didn't know if they could get them all the way to the green zone, which was downtown Baghdad, they would land them on Abu. We'd offload them and the cache would take care of them, stabilize them, and then get them over to the green zone where they got the, top of the line, medicine and medical procedures. All right, this here is an 81 millimeter mortar struck basically on the tarmac. This is in the middle of the of the area on Abu where most of the mortars hit, and you can see out here they're starting to put up at those trailers in the middle of nowhere, and this is a bunker that nobody really went to unless you were stuck out in the middle of fucking death zone and you ran there. But most of the time, like after the first month, I didn't get in a bunker. I just said fuck it, I don't care. All right, now this is Welcome to Burger King. All right, now this particular soldier is one of mine. I'm not going to say his name. He now drives professionally stock cars, doing a great job, doing good things. But if you went to Baghdad and you were used to being on a fob and you ate this food, I can almost guarantee you inside of 40 minutes, you're shitting yourself. Every time. I learned this the hard way once. But I was lucky. We made it back to Abu, where I promptly got out and took a dump without having to soil myself. But it was 50-50 there. You know, it was really close. All right. This is... Now, what we're seeing here... you see you have the tent. It has the sunscreen on the top. And then here you have, I think, just like 3 or 4 feet of sandbags all the way around. All right. Now, on I think it was May 5th, somewhere in there, inside Abu, we had a low priority camp, which was full of tents like this. And then we had just triple concertina around the whole thing. It was low priority. Well, there is no overhead cover. And on that particular day... they took, I think, 6 or 7 direct hits from 4-inch mortars, which is the biggest mortar, you know, that's out there. Well, not the biggest, but it is, for modern armies, it is the biggest mortar that they use. All right. And I believe it killed like 110 Hajis with like 350 to 450 wounded. These rounds would come in here. Everyone that was in that tent, it was turned into a milkshake of doom. All right. And they just all died. And I was on the second wave cleanup, not on the first wave. First wave went in and just triaged wounded people, moved them to, you know, get medevaced and so forth. I had to pick up body parts and dead bodies and scoop shovel, like basically snow shovel full of sandy blood into the ground. It was literally like black. It was fucking horrible. And just talking about this is making my PTSD go nuts. All right, April 10th. This individual here is a 3rd platooner. This is his unup-armored regular Humvee that took 2 or 3 rounds right here that stopped these bullets from coming inside to the cabin and killing this individual. Now, how come these bullets weren't 4 to 6 inches higher and they would have went right through this glass? I have no idea. But this individual here is lucky to not be dead. Just going to say it now. All right. That is another bullet hole. And now this is all quarter inch pig iron steel. This is basically a bathtub that we put in the back of one of the Humvees. And the individual right on the other side of this caught the spall from the bullet that went through this and hit him in the wrist. And I believe he still has particles in there to this day. So, real. And this is me in my fucking unblurred bullshit armor getting ready to go do something stupid. I can only imagine what. All right, now this dog here was one that my guys adopted on Abu, and I literally had to like move heaven and earth to keep this dog hidden so that like, he wouldn't get killed. So, yeah, we had all kinds of dog cullings and what have you. I'm not a fan of that, but I understand. But this particular dog, my guys liked him, and... you know, they want what they want. We're not going to, you know, have anyone killed. All right, this here is, I believe, everyone's getting ready to go out or prepping for the April 10th Fun and Games. This is a Mark 19 that I signed for from the, I think it's the 3rd or 2nd 72nd MP Company that was on Abu. They're the ones that are responsible for all of the pictures and craziness that went on. And my worthless commander at the time would not allow me to pull these Mark 19s out of our towers and put them on the onto the Humvees. So I had to go sign for two Humvees, or I think it was three Mark 19s and a Humvee to bring them here. Plus, I stopped by the Charlie 5-1 was on the other side of the fob, and they gave me all kinds of Virgin Mark 19 ammo and what have you. Now, this is just quarter-inch pig iron steel. Okay, nothing fancy. We all had doors that swung open like this. In fact, my door had somewhere between 14 and 17 hits on it. So, luckily, they were low, and it was probably AK fired at a distance, and it didn't have enough ass to come through. But, you know, good, you know, lucky for me. All right, this is a log pack, and obviously you can get away with stuff deployed forward that you can't do stateside. You're not driving down a highway with two pallets of MREs held to the top with just one piece of tie-down tape here, or whatever the hell that is, ratchet straps. Yeah, you're not doing that. You can do it in Iraq, but you can't do it here. Okay, this is me. Look how young I was and thin. And this is a buddy of mine who's like a brother to me. So I still see him all the time. Good dude. But, you know, there's the jungly knife I carried everywhere I went. And my Rolex watch, which I don't have anymore. All right, this is basically, you're looking down the, you know, a 50 cal, a machine gun. I have all kinds of pictures like this. I don't know when in deployment this was taken. Here's another one. This is the tower that faces the main MSR here. And you go this way down this MSR for about a mile, and there's a spaghetti loop that's elevated, I think, 300 or 400 feet in the air. It looks like a modern highway. We got rocketed from that thing at least half a dozen times. All right. Again, we had M60 machine guns. We didn't have 240s or 248s or 240s. I believe we did pick up some saws, but we didn't have the 30 cal modern machine gun. We had these old M60s. We had 21 of these. Of the 21, two were deficient free and six fired, you know, were liable. The rest were just semi-automatic, worthless anchors. Okay, again, inside a tower, there's your radio, and yes, there are hand grenades hanging ready for use. All right, now this is the sand table of Abu Ghraib prison. Basically, the main gate was right in here. This was the 202 MI headquarters was here. And back here is where my guys stayed, right here. Tower 4 that I talked about earlier was looking out this edge here. And that mosque was here. And right along this edge are those apartment buildings. And the active duty Marines lived in this compound. And then we had reserve Marines in this compound. And for whatever reason, the active duty Marines didn't want anything to do with the reserve Marines. They liked hanging out with us because we were cowboys. But they didn't like the Marine Reserve. And to be honest, they were run by a bunch of pussies. Just gonna say it here. Not the active duty guys, but the reserve guys. Sorry. You can hit me in the comments. I don't care. All right. Now, here are the rules of engagement. Right there in black and white. And I had to post those in every tower. They had to be in every vehicle. And every time I did a changing of the guard, I had to go through that whole goddamn thing. I got it down to a science. I could do it like in 30 seconds or less at the time. And I would basically shave an hour off of all the briefings by just doing it real quick and not running through the whole thing and they wanted me to take them to the HQ and in brief them, and everyone had to sign the sign-in sheet, and then to take them back and then put them. No, I don't have time for that. Not when guys are getting 4 hours of sleep. Fuck that. All right, now this is, we saw this one come in through the back gate on Victory, and this particular tank was basically taken out of service by the new RPGs that we're starting to see them show up on the battlefield, and those things really do damage Abrams tanks. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't know if this is the newest armor. But 15 years ago was no. So back then, that particular missile would disable an Abrams. All right, now you know you're uber effed when you have your tracked vehicle recovery coming in on a recovery vehicle here. All right, you are turbo effed into A if this happens to you. Okay. It is not a good day. All right, so let's roll us out of here. All right, now this is just one of my guys. Asleep anywhere. This is actually fairly common, especially when you're getting 4 hours of sleep and you've been doing it for 3 or 4 weeks. You're done. So whenever you stop, you sleep. And you can tell this is a 4.25 guy because right here are M60 machine guns. And those are probably the only two of the five that worked. Here he is sleeping more. All right, this is actually on Victory, looking across a lot of the man-made small ponds and lakes that Saddam had built. And this, he spent a lot of time around this particular complex. All right, now you guys, especially when you been paying attention to the lair videos, and I talk about the prison. This is the view walking into the cell blocks, and you can see all the way down there. All right, now I'm going to show these pictures in the future when I go through some of the paranormal stories that took place here, because there are some more that some of my soldiers told me, and then some I had forgotten about that were brought up, and I'm going to go over that either the next video or two from now. Okay, again, this is the inside of that prison complex. Look how long that is. All right, this is the outside. Now, each of these is individual cells that have plywood on them, and each one had an air conditioning unit. We're so spoiled. All right, here is the porta shitter, and if you're got to use it during a mortar attack, good luck, because that's all open area. All right, this is the 3rd Platoon motto they had that was sitting outside the 3rd Platoon company area. It's basically, the Corinthus skull and crossbones we came up with, with the tomahawks. Pretty cool. And this is actually been cut down, and I believe one of the 3rd Platoon guys has it in his garage. All right, and this is where you put your ammo in between missions. That is live ammo, totally unsecured, in the living area with the dudes. And this was done to save time and actually have our soldiers have a fighting chance. If they were to get overrun, they would have ammo right there, and their vehicles were parked behind the building. Again, more ammo, and again, more ammo. Now, this is basically where the heavy weapons were stored. There's a Mark 19, a 50 cal, a couple saws in there, and this one here, I know this is the 3rd Platoon company area because they had a sniper rifle, and I know the guy who was issued it. He's a damn good soldier. All right, now this is typical living arrangements. You see all this wood here? They just gave us the wood, said, build what you got to build. Good luck. And they just left. And that is it. We built everything. Okay. Here's the the Camel Spider news article that we put up everywhere. And Scott is a soldier of ours who's scared of him, man. He's terrified of these things. It was hilarious. Again, you can't really identify these guys, but, you know, they're doing typical soldier shit when they are not doing soldier shit, which is just hang out and chill. Now, these are local Iraqis that were contracted to do whatever, and they were paid to do basically this all the time because they hardly ever worked. They're always off, and when they were working, they were going damn slow. All right, this is a sign. This is basically for the talk we had for the 425, which was black talk, and this is what we had sitting out on our company area. We were copying MASH. It was pretty good. Now here are the connexes for each platoon, right here, and this is still early on in the deployment. As we went on, we had platoons deployed to other FOBs, and these went away. And then we were actually moved out of Abu to Slayer, and I'll touch on that later on. Okay, now this here was the setting for Willard, because we had all of these MREs that were stored. We hardly ever went through all of them. And when we left Abu Ghraib and we took all of these out, the ones closest to the wall were just ridden with rats that chewed through everything, and we took away their food supply, and there were rats there were rats everywhere for a couple weeks. It was pretty funny. Okay, this is a view from the rear of Blacktock, and this is all of our horse shit, and there's the sandbags and the concertina wire, and we stole that vehicle, but it's neither here nor there. Getting mail call. Alright, now this is a caravan leaving Abu. Now you can see they have the up-armored SUVs and there are up-armored escort. And this here we called the Rhino vehicle. So they basically, this is somebody from our government in this vehicle, and these are vehicles that are manned by the alphabet agencies, and these are army. So, just so you know. We didn't get up armors until near the end. All right, this is the goddamn Rhino. You can see the picture of the Rhino on the front. It is basically a death trap. Don't ever get in that thing if you can help it. All right, now this is another view from one of the palaces on Victory, and you can see the lakes and stuff that are there. And this was actually fairly common, in and around Baghdad. This is a company photo. Not everyone's there. I think that's like 80% of the company. And there's the Mad Mooner. Now, this is a picture inside Blacktock. And there's the planning table, the map, and so forth. And you had all the computer stations. Now, what's not in this picture is up in the corners, we had TVs mounted that had cable. And I would have soldiers come in at like 2, 3 in the morning to watch some fashion show in Milan. And it was hilarious. Okay, look at all this computer fucking horse shit. We still had, 312 and the switchboard, so we can actually wire all of this up between everyone in our company. And I believe we ran one out to the battalion, but the battalion didn't have any of this stuff. This is all old shit that got sent forward because we were Michigan National Guard. Worked out great. Again, closer look at this goddamn spaghetti wheelhouse of craziness. Here's me. God, I look young. You can see I'm starting to go gray there. And right here is my A2. I like to carry this once I got moved off, onto HQ and so forth. I surrendered my M4 to one of the guys on the line, and I took the A2 here. And the reason is it's the longer barrel. You're going to get 500 meters out of this, out of the shorter barrel M4, you're getting 350. And since we're in Iraq and there's big open areas and I'm old school, I went with the A2. All right, here is a picture of the chow hall at Abu Ghraib prison. And I believe this is after we got rid of the English company and the American company took over, because right here is Ice Cream Island, which is a big saver. All right, now I'm going to have to cut this one short here because we have gone way too long. I'm going to pick this up after the next one. We'll probably have this in two or three episodes. I will talk to you guys later.